98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
It's all there right in front of Kyler Murray. A game against Matthew Stafford tonight, a potential game against Tom Brady on Sunday, and then maybe Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay in Lambeau Field. Now, does that sound like a dream to you, or does that sound like a real possibility? Because we are going to know a lot more after tonight. Because tonight is not just a playoff game, which is more than enough all by itself. This is also a preview of our future. This is a first glimpse of where the ceiling might be in Arizona, and that's because over the past three seasons, it's been occasionally hard to get a read on Kyler Murray. What is he all about? What kind of leader is he or isn't he? How much does he really love football? Tonight, a different view of Murray as an impact football player is going to reveal itself because, as I always say, greatness declares itself early. It don't wait. Now, that doesn't mean that Murray can't slow grow his way into a championship-caliber quarterback. He can, and many do. But I believe if Murray is destined to be the special kind of great, where the capital G stands for gold jacket, I think we get a glimpse tonight. Because like he said, he's built for this moment. Because that's what he truly believes. And if in the NFL playoffs, belief can be a powerful thing. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at Chapman BMW in Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
I think this is, as a competitor, this is as big as it gets. I mean, it's the playoffs. This is what you dream of. This is what you live for. It's what you play for, the opportunity to go win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, there's no shying away from it. You know, like I said, this is something you dream about as a kid. So to be able to be in this situation now and, be in it, doesn't get much better.
Yeah, sometimes playoff pressure will reveal cracks. Sometimes it presses individuals to elevate their game. We don't know which way this is going to go for Kyler Murray.
No.
His past athletic prowess would tell you he's probably built for this. He talked about it a lot last week, that these are the moments, and you heard it right there, these are the moments that you dream about. He's got a chance, obviously playoffs are different, but there's also a chance to erase what was a pretty disappointing performance the last time he took on the L.A. Rams when, you know, early in the season, Bick, when the Cardinals went to L.A. and really just beat up on the Rams, in a game that wasn't as close as the final score would indicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was that feeling of, they finally solved it. They finally cracked the code. Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, and the rest of that team have cracked the Sean McVay dominance code that he has held over this franchise. And then the very next matchup, you're doubting yourself again.
Yeah.
Because of the way the Rams were able to perceive. So I think that's another really fascinating feature about this particular matchup is that, yes, it's a division opponent. Yes, it's a playoff game. It's the first playoff game in a while. But the fact that this is a third match, a rubber game, if
without
you will, between these two teams adds so much more to it.
A division rival that you are ostensibly going to be competing with in the very, very near future. I know the 49ers fans would say, hold on a minute there, but I do think that there is a lot on the line here. If Kyler Murray can best the Rams in his first playoff game, what will that mean the second time they play and the third time they play? The difference with Kyler Murray is his level of self expectations, and those have been very, very different from day one, and as different as the person himself. And that's what I think has made this journey fascinating. If you'd have said when Kyler Murray was drafted number one overall that he would lead the team to a playoff berth in year three, you might go, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's him. That's everybody upholding their end of the bargain. But the way to get here has been anything but seamless. There's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs. There's been a lot of great starts and a lot of bad play over the back halves of seasons. There's been a lot of stuff, a lot of yapping about his leadership qualities, about his interpersonal qualities, about all that kind of stuff. And so, but now it's the playoffs. And as I said earlier, this is the beauty of these things is you step up and play big in these games. The world never forgets. And that is now who you are. And if Kyler Murray can conquer that and be above that moment in the first try, that to me is going to say great things about our future as a football team.
Sure.
You win this game. any way, any which way, that says great things about our future as a football town.
The finish of the season gets talked about a lot, and that is on Kyler Murray, but it's on the rest of the Cardinals too. The coaching staff, the front office, all the players on this team about limping toward the playoffs, going 1-4 over their last five games when the Cardinals had struggled so much, and it was a weekly, if not daily, topic on our show and others. Where's the national respect for this team that started 7-0? They were the final undefeated team in the league. They were 10-2 at one point. Some of the road wins that they had early in the season, namely the Rams win and the Tennessee win, kind of got brushed under the rug by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that narrative got washed away because the Cardinals went into a hole, and they did limp toward the finish line, going 1-4. Kelvin mm-hmm. Beachum of the Cardinals said, look, about that clean slate mentality, not worried about how this team finished. He's worried about one game, and that's tonight.
To be honest, all I'm currently worried about and currently concerned about and focused on and laser focused on is this Monday night. What's happened in the past, what can happen in the future, or is irrelevant. What's most important right now is what happens on Monday night.
Yeah, and how are the Rams, the opposition, how are they looking at the Cardinals headed into this game? Obviously, there's a great deal of familiarity between these teams, but you might be reassured if you're the Rams looking at how the Cardinals finished the season, and you were a part of that in beating them in their home stadium. Sean McVay, he's not buying into that at all.
I think it's a challenge because this is a good football team. I saw him a couple weeks ago, beat a really, really good Dallas team at Dallas. They went wire to wire, and I don't care what Seattle's record is. That's a really good football team. We know that. And so I got a lot of respect for this team. They've done a great job. You've heard me say this before, Gary. This team was good enough to get in. They won 11 games out of their 17. They beat us earlier in the year. We had to play really well to get after them at their place. And it's going to be who plays the best in that 3-hour window. Really nothing that occurred prior to has anything to do with what's going to go on in that 3-hour time frame. And we've got to be able to execute and be in the moment and enjoy the op that these guys have earned.
I just want to correct one thing Sean McVay said. He watched the Cardinals a couple weeks ago beat a good Dallas team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Cardinals had a lot of help from the officials. Just ask the Cowboys players.
It's a recurring theme, isn't it, in Dallas?
It's not us, it's them. Yeah.
Yeah.
The guys in striped shirts.
And I thought the persecution complex was bad among Suns fans. Cowboys fans live that delusion.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? Wow. Just wow. Yeah, I'm excited beyond belief about this because this is a great way to end Wild Card Weekend. Mm-hmm. As I said last week, doesn't that Bengals Raiders game feel like 100 years ago?
It does.
That's what happens when you play the first game on a Saturday. You're playing the last game on a Monday, and you already know who you're playing if you win tonight.
And what time?
Yeah.
1 p.m. on Sunday.
Which is a marquee time slot, by the way, the afternoon on Sunday. It's not Sunday night, but it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, last week and leading up to this, I was against the Monday night game.
Do you feel better about it?
Now I do. When that wait, because you're right. I mean, trudging through 2 days of, in my opinion, lackluster football for the first week of the playoffs. Made it seem that much longer, but now
still feels unfair, though, that they are going to have a short week when the other teams aren't.
It is unfair.
Right.
There's no two ways about it.
It is unfair, but it will add to the sense of, oh, my goodness. If we are spending tomorrow talking about a Cardinals playoff victory over the Rams and the magnitude of that, it's also a Tuesday and a game week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. It's going to be like going from 0 to 60.
Or 80.
Or 80. Yeah, that's probably even more accurate.
Yeah, after the show today, Bick is headed to Los Angeles, and he'll have all kinds of coverage along with
I want to run by you next.
With Tyler Drake from Arizona Sports.
You like surprises?
I love surprises.
You're going to get one next.
Ooh. We're going to get surprised next. Can't wait.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Quickly, Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
I know he likes to play under the big lights, and he's done it his whole life, his whole career. dating back to when he was in, you know, Pop Warner football. He loved to play in the big games, and I think he really does relish this opportunity. So I would expect him to play well and to play lights out.
Yeah, best quarterback wins tonight, Vinny, and I actually feel oddly comfortable about that.
I mean, you can feel pretty confident about that week in, week out. I think it's magnified in the playoffs, certainly. Mm-hmm. Steve Keim on what he expects from Kyler Murray, that from Burns and Gambo. On Friday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals and Rams tonight, 6:15 kickoff. We got wall-to-wall coverage. The official pregame coverage starts at 1:30 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. On a jam-packed
sports
day. So
Gambo got another day off. Burns out!
Look, not for nothing.
Look.
I got the day off.
All right, so here's the surprise. It's something that kind of passed by my face here, and I wanted to share this with you because it's things that make you go, hmm. One thing that we're hoping for the Cardinals to do is to be like Kurt Warner's Cardinals, right? And that is to say they were called the worst playoff team in history at one point in time.
They were.
And Cardinals are coming in with, what, 4 losses in their last 5 games.
Yes.
So we're hoping that they can find a switch, maximize opportunities, end up in a Super Bowl. Not inconceivable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on Saturday night, the architect of that team, Kurt Warner, I presume he was watching the Bills game, because at one point in time, the Bills got down to the red zone and raced down and clocked the ball on first down and gave them 3 shots to score a touchdown, which they did. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Warner tweeted out the following, quote, "Never understand why teams don't have a special play call for situations like that inside the 10, so you don't just have to waste a play with the clock. Just a simple one-word play to throw into the end zone and maybe steal one." Perfectly logical take, right?
Yes.
Why do you have to waste a down clocking the ball when you could just have at least something to run in that very situation? No other than Larry Fitzgerald Sr. responded by saying, quote, "Like the interception you threw James Harrison 1 yard line just before halftime for touchdown 100 yards, question mark?
I saw that.
Okay, that, I hope that was meant in
jest.
I hope, because it sounds like a dude who might be bitter that his son doesn't have a Super Bowl ring and now he's blaming Kurt for it.
Well, Larry could have made the tackle.
Tried.
Antrell Roll could have stayed out of the way. Come on, Gambo, what's the matter with your guy, Antrell Roll?
Right.
I did see that response. Was there a response to that from Kurt?
I'm looking right now.
I just think there was some, like, whoa.
Yeah, it was.
Fitz Senior.
High and inside.
Remains out of pocket on Twitter.
Yeah.
Consistently.
I think he tweets from his pocket because there's no spaces sometimes. The exclamation points are in the wrong. Let me ask you this. That just reminded me. Does this current Cardinals team, does it remind you more of the Kurt Warner team or of the Carson Palmer team? Or of neither?
Neither for me. They're kind of right in the middle there. The Carson Palmer team in 2015, there was a supreme confidence about that team, mm-hmm. and there should have been. 13 wins, even though they were the 2 seed and Carolina had a magical year. The belief that this community had in that Cardinals team going to Charlotte for the NFC Championship game was off the charts. Like the run to the Super Bowl was incredible. It was magical. It was totally unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the Cardinals caught a break because they won a bad division that year. They got matched up against a wild card team in Atlanta that had a rookie quarterback and Matt Ryan playing his first real big game in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and they played well, but everything lined up for that team, and though it was painful to watch that come to an end, that whole run was like playing with house money, really.
Well, here's the thing, too. Would it be conceivable to you, Vinny, that given the way the 49ers are playing right now, that they might be able to take out the Packers, maybe, just maybe?
I think if there's a team that can get the Packers after a bye week, with their style of play and their physical nature and that complex running game, it's probably safe.
I agree with you.
I don't know. Look, if I'm weighing who's got a better chance to go to Lambeau in January and win a game, is it San Francisco or is it Arizona? I would probably say San Francisco. Let them do the dirty work.
Right. So if that was the case, you know who might be hosting the NFC Championship game again?
Oh,
that would be here. So if the Cardinals could beat the Rams, now you got to take out Tom Brady and the Bucs, and that's that would be a huge. That isn't like going to beat Jake Delhomme in Charlotte, okay? But there is a chance the 49ers might take out the Packers, a chance. And if that's the case, the team on the other end of the bracket's got home field advantage in the NFC Championship.
And we always talked about it with the Suns when they were starting their playoff run. Like, think of how poetic it would be if they take out the Lakers in the first round, and then they take out the Clippers eventually, and then they have to play Steve Nash and the Nets. It didn't turn out to be play the Nets, but the rest of it worked out.
Yeah.
If they beat the Rams, their arch nemesis over the last several years, then they beat Bruce Arians. Then they host a game and they beat the 49ers, their other rival,
to go to the Super Bowl, which will be staged in Los Angeles. Yeah, it'd be ideal. It'd be beautiful. So what I'm saying is that luck might fall your way given what we've seen from the 49ers, given the fact. Now, the Packers are the better team, and Aaron Rodgers is by far the better quarterback. But like you said, there's a ball control element and a physicality to that 49ers team that gives them a shot in that game.
Aaron Rodgers 0-3 in his career in the playoffs versus the 49ers.
Oh, did you just pull that stat out of the? Oh, you're
no, man. I saw it. I didn't make it up.
This is good. This is not Wednesday, Jarrett. This is Monday, Jarrett. Firing hot.
No ass dragons to be
found.
No ass dragons
in the studio.
Not for two more days anyway. Kurt Warner did respond to Larry Fitz Sr.
He did?
Said, no, absolutely nothing like that with two exclamation points.
So I scrolled through the replies and a few presumably Cardinals fans responded to Fitz Sr. and were like, wow, are you still holding this against Kurt? And he never said he was joking. He says, this is what happened. Did you see the game? Anger? Are you serious? This was a long time ago. I just asked a question.
It was quite a sideswipe as it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's not necessarily in jest.
Refresh my memory. There obviously wasn't a lot of time left. Clock was running on that play.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And
there was speculation as to whether Anquan Boldin lined up too close to the line of scrimmage, which didn't create... Which didn't take James Harrison out of the play. There's a lot of weirdness about that. Yeah,
I remember
the
Antro
roll thing, stepping out to watch.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching that play unfold, and it felt like it was a half an hour.
Yeah, all you had to do was tackle him anywhere, and the half was over.
Yeah.
They couldn't have kicked a field goal. All you had to do was tackle that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very traumatic moment. But the story of that Super Bowl was the Cardinals came back and took the lead in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just odd that happened.
Look.
With that and some of the movie reviews Kurt's getting, I feel bad for
people are, yeah.
No, it's...
Look,
it's,
he went up against Spider-Man, the poor
it's not,
guy.
It's not that. It's that, and I asked him about this on the air because movie critics are not sports fans. It's a completely different arena. There's no sensitivity. There's no idol worship. There's none of that. You know,
no, it's just, looking at it from through the scope of movies
and
production.
And so it's a different level of criticism because it's something that's out of Kurt's hands as well. No, I'm only bringing this up because that just seemed to be a weird place for Fitz Sr. to take that conversation. Because I thought Kurt was making a good point.
Well, if Fitz is looking for one last chance at glory. To avenge that.
See, but I think that's tied into this. I think it's kind of more proof that would have never, ever happened.
It's almost like people are nasty to each other on Twitter. that's kind of what I got from that.
Wow. You're right. Come to think of it, you're right. Huh. It's a cesspool.
I can't wait for the commercial break. I'm just going to light somebody up on Twitter for no reason.
At Jarrett GC.
Yeah, there you go.
Two G's. Right.
Vince versus Jarrett on Twitter.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll continue to talk Rams, Cardinals, wild card weekend wrapping up tonight in Los Angeles. We'll talk about it with Lorenzo Alexander next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Bickley and Murata.
And before we move on, I did go back and watch that interception return for a touchdown from the Super Bowl, James Harrison against Kurt Warner.
Yeah, I was kind of looking over your shoulder a little bit. I wouldn't have done that.
It wasn't the same situation. The clock was stopped there, 18 seconds. So what Kurt brought up about clocking the ball wouldn't have even applied.
You know what?
It was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Right, yeah. No, that's exactly right. And as you pointed out, there were 16 seconds left on the clock when that play went off, right?
Yeah.
That's how long it took.
So if James Harrison would have got tackled, there still would have been time for Pittsburgh to kick a field goal, ostensibly, depending on where he got tackled. He didn't cross the goal line until it hit double zeros.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. Well, okay.
Reliving the pain. Hopefully that's not the case tonight. Cardinals and Rams wild card weekend wraps up at SoFi Stadium. Here to talk about it with us, the one and only Lorenzo Alexander joins us here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. What's up, Zo?
Doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
Lorenzo.
Good. We just relived maybe the most painful play in the history of the Arizona Cardinals. So get that out of the way, and hopefully much smoother sailing tonight. Look, we're all from the outside wondering what the mindset of the Cardinals is. You know, they limp toward the finish line. They go 1-4 in their last five games. Flip that for the Rams. They go 4-1, but there's doubts about that team too.
Right.
How much of a clean slate feeling does the playoffs give a team that might not be playing its best football when the postseason begins?
I think initially the slate is completely wiped clean. Now, it may have some remnants, you know, if you didn't get it all completely erased when things start to occur in a game that starts bringing up maybe some old experiences, right? So, And this is what I mean, you know, so the whole goal is to get to the playoffs, get an opportunity to make it to the Super Bowl. And that's day one. And we want to get an opportunity. There's several ways you can do that, right? Win your division, win all your home games. I know that didn't happen, but they did that mostly on the road this year, kind of flipped on them, just to give yourself an opportunity to get into the dance, because we all know that at that point, anything can happen. But during the course of the game, if things happen, you know, and I don't want to put nothing out there, if anything negative, then you say, oh, man, what's up? Is it because we're missing this guy, or is it because of what we've been doing the last couple of weeks? And that can create some frustration that can, you know, impact you in a negative way, you know. So it comes down to leadership to be able to fight through those moments and be able to recover. But when you're playing some of the best teams, it, when things start rolling in a negative way, sometimes it just continues because the team is just too good for you to overcome it.
I know you enjoyed Josh Allen's performance on Saturday night.
Oh, loved it.
Yeah, I'm curious how much of what Josh Allen gave to the Bills, just a barrage of playmaking ability, does Kyler Murray need to flash for the Cardinals tonight? I know they're not the same guy.
Yep.
But just a barrage of playmaking ability, they share that in common.
They do. And what Josh has learned over the years is that the heroic play is not always the best play, right? And so even in that game the other night, he was checking it down, getting the ball to Isaiah McKenzie on the outside and letting his athletes go to work, right? Checking it down to Devin Singletary, letting his athletes go to work, getting the ball to Cole Beasley in the slot, letting him go to work. And then when the shots were there, taking advantage of it. And so that's what Kyler has to continue to learn how to do. Where are his moments? Because every moment isn't the moment to be heroic, because sometimes it leads to one of those negative plays that I was talking to. And there's no clear path as far as what that looks like. Every guy has to figure that out for themselves. But I know one thing, you can't look at what some of the quarterbacks that are, you know, we consider elite or right there up against it, what they've done over the weekend, and go out there and try to impress everybody else like I'm one of those guys too, because that's when you start playing outside of yourself, making decisions that you otherwise wouldn't, and most of the times that leads to a negative outcome. So Kyler just needs to play within himself, go along with the plan, and then they're going to face some type of adversity and be able to redirect the team once that occurs. And he has the ability to do it. It's if everybody else is going to be willing to kind of lock into that same mindset that he's going to have.
Lorenzo Alexander, our guest, as we talk football here on this Big Red Monday on Bickley and Murata Mornings. J.J. Watt, one of the greatest defensive players we've seen over the last 25 or so years in the NFL. He's back tonight. Nobody really knows what to expect. I mean, what do you think J.J. Watt can really give the Cardinals tonight?
I think everybody's asking me this question because the last time I played a game, J.J. Watt was on the field. Mm-hmm. And he had sustained a similar injury that they didn't think he was going to come back from. And some way, somehow, he gets back out there, makes some very impactful plays, sacks Josh, you know, pressures him into some situations, and really was, you know, the catalyst, you know, especially in Houston, what J.J. Watt means, and the fans got back into it, that allowed them to kind of beat us in my last season in the first round of the playoffs. And so I know this, he has the ability to go out there and be impactful even when his body isn't 100%. He has a high, obviously, football IQ. He has a great playmaking ability. And if he's stepping on the field, to his point that he's always made, it's because he feels like he's able to go out there and give you something. And you know, 85-90% of J.J. Watt is better than the majority of people's 100%. So he's going to be able to do something, especially with the leadership, and then he's going to be able to go out there and make plays. The only thing I have a concern with is because he hasn't been in the lineup for a long time, and you do have a couple of young linebackers, depending on what they do this week. When he freelances, will guys be able to react right in the run game, which has been one of the Achilles heels of this football team this year, and be able to stop the run.
I'm glad you brought up, Zoe, your last game, that playoff game against Houston. That was January 4th, 2020. And the reason why I bring that up is you've played in an NFL game more recently than Eric Weddle has. And he's going to be counted on to contribute. A, can you imagine playing in a playoff game after 2 years away from the game? And what do you expect him to contribute?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it'd be a little bit different because, you know, I can get out there, you know, maybe rush the passer, be used in certain situations. When you out there with these type of athletes in space, you know, playing that safety position, it's just a different speed of the game that is, you know, it's hard to duplicate anywhere else, just with your eyes and stuff of that nature and just having been out there. Saying all that, I've been around Eric a little bit. I think we've all seen the type of player he is, and I don't know what his athleticism is right now, but I know football IQ-wise, he'll be in the right position. Now it's all about, you know, do I have enough muscle memory to take the right angle, to make a play on the ball, because all that stuff, you know, normally leaves you pretty quickly, even though you know where to be. Getting there is a whole different mentality. And then I don't know how much he's going to have to be called upon as far as communicating with guys, right? Because there is something to say about having great football chemistry and continuity with guys out there as far as what you're seeing, how guys play, being able to communicate the same thing that you're seeing. And if you haven't done that all year, it definitely puts you at a disadvantage. And that's why I think the Cardinals, that first series, I would go out and do some hurry-up offense and maybe put a little pressure on him if he has to communicate and see if they have things all dialed in on the back end. Because if you get a couple of big plays early, you can do the same thing to them, the Rams, that, you know, if something starts bad happening, oh, man, is this us, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago? You know, maybe get Stafford to throw a pick, maybe a pick six, you know, as the things go bad for the defense on that side, because it impacts the whole team, especially if this offense and Kyler Murray can come out and get rolling early.
Now, as you pointed out, one thing is for certain, Eric Weddle is going to be very sore tomorrow morning.
That's no doubt. No doubt.
Finally, we've got about 30 seconds, though. What will tell you the Cardinals are ready to play and win this game when you see it tonight? Will it be the urgency? What will it be that will let you know, okay, they're in this to win this?
It's really the totality of the entire game. I don't think it's nothing going to be anything early, because we saw last night with the Pittsburgh Steelers, right, going toe-to-toe, then all of a sudden the wheels fall off, right?
Yeah.
So it's really the consistency. Everybody can go out there and make a couple of great plays early on in the game, but can you sustain that same type of focus as the game wanes and you're playing against the best versus the best? How do you endure all of that? So it's more about the totality of the game, but you have to be able to go out there initially and stop this run. This run game is going to be key.
Zoe, thanks as always. Appreciate the breakdown, man.
All right, appreciate you guys.
We'll talk soon. Lorenzo Alexander joined us here on Big Red Monday. Coming up next, in two games this year, the Cardinals have slowed down Aaron Donald, and they've been absolutely dominated by Aaron Donald. How do they deal with him tonight? And that's a big key going into this wild card matchup. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata, mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
First down and 10 of the Cardinals, 25. James Conner in the backfield with Kyler Murray. He takes the snap. And it's play action. Murray in trouble, and he falls down back at the 18-yard line as he was being chased by Aaron Donald. There is a penalty marker down at the 20. 9 seconds. 8. Now you need a Hail Mary at this point. Forget the spike. 5 seconds. Snap to Kyler. Backing up. In trouble. Gets hit. Gets out of there. Steps up. Still going. Now he's sacked back at the 25 and the game's over. Boy, that was a train wreck, the end of the game there.
Yeah, that's the way it sounded in the first play of the game, the last time the Cardinals played the Rams. And the
like
last
the Cowboys
play.
At the end of their game yesterday.
Yeah,
it was kind of that fire drill look to it.
There was a reason why I played those two plays.
Yeah.
Because they were bookend sacks by Aaron Donald. He started the game with a sack. He ended the game with a sack. And he had one in the middle, too. 3 sacks in that game. And we've seen 2 completely different performances from Aaron Donald this year in the 2 games against the Rams. The first game in Los Angeles, Cardinals had a really good plan for him and neutralized him, which is almost impossible to do. The guy, when he makes up his mind that he's going to wreck something, he wrecks it. So the fact that he had his lowest Pro Football Focus single game grade ever in that first game, that said something about how the Cardinals handled him.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to completely neutralize Aaron Donald tonight. I wouldn't bet on him having 3 sacks tonight, but you got to slow him down as much as you can. That's really high on the list of priorities for Cliff Kingsbury and his coaching staff tonight.
He had more individual pressures in their last meeting than the Cardinals had as a team. And so that's the kind of game that you're not going to win that game. And it's the fact that the Cardinals were still within puncher's reach of that team at the end of the game is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not sure what to expect tonight. I do think that I do think that the Cardinals are more than capable of playing the kind of game that makes this thing a coin toss. I think there's more pressure on the Rams to win in their own building. I don't think the atmosphere is going to be entirely hostile. I think that the window obviously has been open for a lot of Cardinals fans to go down there. We'll see how that plays out. But I think this is about as neutralized, sterile of an environment as you can hope for in an NFL playoff game if you're the road team.
Yeah, and you can kind of push that effort along if you're able to slow down Aaron Donald. Steve Keim was on with Burns and Gambo on Friday. He talked about that too, how, you know, from a GM standpoint. But, you know, a former player and a former offensive lineman, how do you neutralize that guy?
In my opinion, Aaron Donald is the most dominating positional player in the NFL of anybody. And it is a handful. There's no doubt about that. You know, to me, you're going to have to chip. You're going to have to protect differently. And more than anything, to slow down that rush, you have to run the football effectively. And the first time we were able to run the football pretty well on them, which created the balance that we needed. The second time, I don't think we ran the ball as good and got into a position where we're having to throw and play from behind. And that's not our game. You know, we have to be able to play fast, aggressive, and be able to run the ball effectively. To me, that's the areas to the key to success.
Calvin Beecham, the plan against Aaron Donald.
I think what we did last time, we just didn't execute consistently throughout the game. We know what it takes to beat this team. We beat them before. We know what happens when we don't execute and we lose. And that can be said about a number of games this year. When we execute the right way, we know what this offense is capable of, no matter the opponent.
Yeah, going back to Steve Keim's point, too, and you brought this up last week when we were breaking down this game. Balance is key. It's key every week, but Kyler Murray threw the ball 49 times in that second game against the Rams. That is a number that is too high if they really want to be successful. Hopefully, you have a solid effort from the front five in the offensive line, and hopefully you're going into a game with a healthy James Conner and Chase Edmonds. Now, Chase Edmonds declared himself, hey, I'm playing on Monday night. We don't have that definitive answer on James Conner, who's really, really big in creating that balance. And he hasn't been with long, devastating runs, but it's been a physical nature of his running that helps move the chains, that helps establish time of possession and kind of settle things down. If they don't have James Conner to a degree where they feel comfortable leaning on him, that could really sway things in that whole balance scale.
I don't know what it looks like, but that's when Kyler Murray is going to have to supplement the running game in his own way. I don't know what it looks like, but I do think that there's a way. You know, yesterday at the end of that Tampa game, to protect Tom Brady while keeping him in the game to protect their lead, they put in a 6th offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to react and solve issues on the fly is something they're going to have to do well tonight.
Sure. That number about balance, too. Kyler Murray this season, if he throws 39 or more times in a game,
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals are 0-4.
Yep.
Through 49 against the Rams, 43 against the Colts, 41 against Detroit, and 39 in that final game against Seattle. So, yeah, that keep that number down, run the football. And to your point, Kyler Murray can be instrumental in that, too, by making plays with his legs.
Well, like I said, the stat that jumped out at me is in the games in which he has 10 or more rushing attempts, no matter how he gets them or what they look like, they're 9-1, and the one loss is the best game he's ever played. So that seems to be a pretty good indicator of getting a really impactful performance from Kyler Murray, that no matter how it happens, double-digit rushing attempts.
I'd sign up for that.
Yeah. I don't know if there's direct correlation, but it seems to make sense, right?
And it doesn't have to be the, you know, 50-yard runs, but those runs on third and long where things break down and he's able to get outside, those demoralize the defense. And I liked Lorenzo Alexander's point, too, about, you know, seeing how up to speed Eric Weddle is. If he's going to be in there at the beginning of a game, and you would figure he would be, because Taylor Rapp is not going to play. Jordan Fuller's out. So they're going to have a rotation of three safeties, and not a lot of none of them have played a lot. And Eric Weddle hasn't played in 2 years. I'd test him early.
Absolutely. And the idea of going hurry up to try to really see if he can sustain, you know, who knows? You would think that he's going to be, he wouldn't have signed with the team if he weren't in really good shape, but how he could be in game shape is beyond me.
Well, didn't Rodriguez tell us, like, one of the first questions was, is he fat? Is he out of shape? And the answers were no, so they continued to go down that road.
Right.
He's been in contact with him, but being in contact and playing are two different things. And to Zoe's point, too, he's not just, you know, rushing the passer, which is a hard thing to do with no practice, but to try to cover receivers, you know, downfield, That could be something to really exploit.
Without a doubt.
You can text your thoughts on that to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we hit the 9 o'clock hour on this Big Red Monday, a wild card edition of Social Studies with Sarah Cazell next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.